You know, I've studied the names of God, and it just thrills me. Each name is so special. But, you know, we aren't often taught what they mean, and we forget. So I made notes. Did you not get a copy of them? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't ask you. Helen, can you hand out the notes? I'm so organized today, right? Before we get started, Pastor Hank had asked if we would pray for him and the congregation there, that they would receive the teaching and, you know. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we just bring Pastor Hank and the congregation at Bethany Missionary Church, Lord God. Give them the understanding they need for that which he's presenting about the heart seminar, Lord, that they can readily comprehend and understand the teaching, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you're the true teacher. Speak through Hank mightily and help me as well, Lord. Teach your children, Holy Spirit, this day, in Jesus' name. Okay, the names of God. I love this topic. I taught this in Bible school, actually. It was one of my courses. And I believe in starting out at the beginning. So Genesis 1:1, if you can find it in your Bibles. Now, in Hebrew, you know, they took the vowels out of the regular name of God, Yahweh. It's just YHWH. How do you pronounce that? The Jews, even today, do not pronounce the name of God. They just say God. They don't. And we'll go to scriptures why, you know. But anyway, Genesis 1. And you know, I love the first three verses. You see the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God, and I figure that's Father God, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, right? Was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, well, there's the word of God, and who's that? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you see the three persons of the Godhead in the first three verses. And look at the plurality of the word God. In scripture, in the Old Testament, is Elohim. Okay, Elohim. It's the only name of God in Genesis chapter 1. And it's plural. So you could write it down as G-O-D-S. It's always plural. Elohim is always plural. The Jews know that. And they say, you know, we have one God, but they know that word is plural. It's plural. Throughout the entire Old Testament, God is plural, you know. And meaning the one who stands in a covenant which is ratified by an oath, which, of course, the Father did with Abraham and, you know, well, actually the Godhead, and with us and, you know, even Adam had a, he didn't see him cut a blood covenant, but they knew to sacrifice blood to the Lord. Okay, every time you see the word God in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew Elohim. Elohim, gods, plural. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, then Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You see the plurality here. And he's talking about, creating mankind, Adam and Eve. But again, the plurality of the Godhead. The next name of God that we've got on your sheets is Al-Elyon. And Pastor Bill will correct me my pronunciation later. But that's the Most High God. Most High God. Okay, it comes out in Genesis 14. And we see really that Abram really knew Elohim, okay, as God Most High. He rules God Most High, Most High. There's no God bigger or more powerful. He's the Most High God. We'll look at verses 18 to 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, he's an interesting guy. Salem means peace. King of peace. And Salem became Jerusalem in later years. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Well, sounds like they're having communion, doesn't it, to us under the new covenant. He was the priest of God Most High, Melchizedek. And Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. No beginning, no ending, like, whoa. He was the priest of God Most High. And he, Melchizedek, blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. They understood tithing even back then. Amazing, isn't it? And I mean, we're only in Genesis 14. It's just the very beginning, the very beginning. And you know, like Abram, God Most High will bless you and protect you as well. I mean, Abram had just come back from a battle with four kings. And I mean, he was a shepherd, you know. And he and his allies had gone. And because they had taken Lot, they had taken the king of Sodom and everything from that city and other cities there as well. And I'm off topic now, so we'll go on with the names of God. El-Rohi, okay? You are the God who sees. And you know, he doesn't miss anything. God knows. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're... He knows. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He can be with you and he can be with me at the same time. We can be, you know, half a world apart, but he can be with us both at the same time, right? He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He sees everything. Now, here in Genesis 16, this is Hagar, and she's pregnant with Ishmael. And, you know, El-Rohi sees her misery, and he comforts her, and he guides her. And we won't go into the reasons why she's there. Because she rather asked for it. But anyway, 16 verse 9. So the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." You know, when Hagar got pregnant with Abram's baby, she scorned Sarai. I mean, you know. Anyway, okay, 11. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael." Literally, that means God hears. What a great name. You know, God hears, God hears. "Because the Lord has heard your affliction." Verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" And because she saw the angel. Genesis 21, Well, Hagar's in trouble again. And Ishmael was ridiculing Isaac. And Isaac's mother was not pleased. And she said to her husband, cast out the slave and her son, for I won't have him. You know, anyway. Genesis 21. So Hagar and Ishmael were cast out, and they were dying in the wilderness at this time. And I've often wondered, you know, that it says in Scripture that Abram gave Hagar a sack of water, whatever, and sent her off. But, I mean, he had 300. Why didn't he give them provisions to survive for, you know? He could have given her a couple of slaves and sheep and things, and I don't understand. I'm sorry, I read these things and I think, why not this? Why not that? You know, what's going on here, Lord? Okay, here 21, we'll look at verses 17 and 19. So she has run away because Sarai has been, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, 21:17. And God heard the voice of the lad. They're dying from thirst, okay? So she had put Ishmael under that bush and then gone a little distance away so she didn't have to watch him die. And she's crying. And God heard the voice of the lad, so of Ishmael. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Verse 19, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And then, of course, you know, it was okay. And El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. I mean, Almighty God, right? He's our God. He's God Almighty, El Shaddai. And here in Genesis 17 is the first time that it comes out in Scripture. Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. Almighty God. Whatever you need, you know. Almighty God, or God Almighty, is more than enough, right? And he's your God. He loves you. And he's there to provide for you. Adonai. Oh. This word is only used as a proper name of God. It's from an unused root meaning to rule or to lord, master. It's translated lord, master, owner, sovereign. And, you know, Adonai. I don't know. To me, that name of God is so personal to me. I just have so much joy and peace rise up as I call him Adonai. He's our master. We're his servants. God doesn't serve us. We serve him. And he blesses us. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything, really. And and he knew the Lord. He knew Elohim as Adonai. Okay, Genesis 15, and there it's Lord God, okay? And, of course, Genesis 15, God is cutting covenant with Abraham here, or Abram, and then after he cuts covenant, the Lord changes his name to Abraham, but he's still Abram at this point. Oh, Okay, Genesis 15. We'll just look at a couple of the verses. Verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, Lord God. What will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Verse 8. And Abram said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? You know, how do I know that I will inherit that land you're talking about and have all those descendants? Verse 18, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Yahweh made a covenant with Abram. Okay, it's all capitalized in the King James, Lord. Okay, and it's always Yahweh then. A lot of people call him Jehovah. I don't know, I kind of look at that as the English translation. I don't know. I'm very comfortable with Yahweh. And when we get to heaven, we can say, Lord, how do we pronounce your name properly? You know. Abram addresses God as Adonai as he intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's in Genesis 18. We'll just look at verse 3. And Abram said, my Lord. So he's saying, Adonai, if I have now, master, he's saying, my Lord, if I now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Verse 27, then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord, okay, to Adonai. And he continues to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he quit at 10, and apparently that wasn't enough. There weren't that many righteous there. Okay, and Yahweh actually is the next name of God, the self-existent or eternal, Yahweh. Okay, in Hebrew, there's no vowels there. It appears in the Old Testament 6,823 times, and today we won't turn to them all, okay? So I thought that was funny. Anyway, 95% of the time it appears alone in Scripture as Lord, okay, and all the letters are capitalized. Lord, that's Yahweh. 5% of the time it's used as a compound name like Lord God. It's the Jewish national name of God, and as I mentioned, you know, the Jews do not speak out the name of God. They just call him God. Indeed, they're not sure of the proper pronunciation either, ever since way back in Exodus time, as they were, you know, in the desert. There was a young man, his father was Egyptian, and he used the name of the Lord in vain. Let me see, Leviticus 24 comes out in. We'll just look at a couple of verses. But if you want to read the whole story, it comes out there in chapter 24. We'll just look at 24:11. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. This was death penalty, right? Verse 15, the end of the verse. Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him. And, of course, that's what happened. And because of that, because of the severity of the judgment upon the people, the priests deemed it better that no one ever pronounced the name of the Lord. And yet, throughout Scripture, he wants to be called by his name. You'd think, well, you know. Anyway, that's what the priest did. They took the vowels out of the covenant name of God, and they don't pronounce his name any longer. Okay, Lord God. Genesis 2. This is Yahweh Elohim. Genesis 2. Now, most of the rest of the scriptures, I've got just typed pieces out of from each scripture that I'll read rather than attempt to go to all of them. Genesis 2, verses 4 and 7. Now, 2:4, this is the first time that Yahweh Elohim appears in Scripture. Okay. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And then Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, is used again in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, of that's actually lives. And man became a living being. Man became a living being. Okay, in Genesis 4, by that time, I'll read that scripture for you. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then, at that time, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord, upon the name of Yahweh. Yahweh or Jehovah, whichever you prefer. I'm not offended if you prefer Jehovah. Exodus 6. And Yahweh says, I have remembered my covenant. At the end of verse 5. I have remembered, and it's Yahweh who has remembered. Yahweh, the self-existent, the eternal God. Exodus 3. Now here, this is Moses' burning bush experience, right? And Yahweh appears and says, my name is I am that I am. And I thought, I am that I am. Yahweh comes from the Hebrew verb to be, to become. And I am that I am signifies he is self-sufficient and self-existent. Okay, Yahweh always was, is, and always will be. Of course, we read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit when they created the earth and the heavens. I mean, it's difficult to grasp that with our minds. Because it's like he's always been there, always will be there. Yikes. And you know, I don't comprehend it all. Exodus 20. Now here, it's the Ten Commandments, okay? But the third commandment is, it's verse 7, you shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, okay? Your God in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And, you know, of course, that's why this guy who used it as a curse word, boy, if that worked for Jesus, there'd be a lot of dead people around, wouldn't they? How many times haven't you heard someone use the Lord's name in vain? It's just so sad. Okay, number 7, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh sounds better because that's what the song says, right? But Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Doesn't matter what your need is, he will provide. He will provide. In Genesis 22, now that's where Abraham had to sacrifice his son, and he obeyed the Lord. He was ready to plunge the knife into Isaac, and the angel of the Lord spoke and said, no, don't do that. But you know, if you read the whole chapter, I mean really read it, you see that when Abraham and Isaac ascended that hill, Abraham said to the servants, he said, the boy and I shall go up and, you know, sacrifice to the Lord, and we shall return. He knew he was coming down that mountain with him, you know. Whether he killed him or not, he was coming with them. The two of them were coming down alive. And anyway, okay, we're off topic. I love the Old Testament. I could stay here forever, you know. I just love it. Anyway, but the Lord did not allow Abram to actually kill Isaac. He got him right to the point where death was imminent. And Isaac, the first few times I read that chapter, I was so upset with God. I was, fit to be tied. I was so angry. I'm thinking of Isaac as this little kid. He wasn't. Isaac would be maybe 22 or something. So let's see, how old was Abraham when Isaac was born? I don't know. He wasn't around yet when he was 99, was he? Anyway, who was stronger here? But Dad said, okay, Isaac, get on the wood and let me tie you up. And he obeyed him. He obeyed him. You know, like, there's so much there. God, the angel of the Lord, okay, angel of the Lord, when angel is capitalized, I believe it's a person of the Godhead. I actually think it's the Lord Jesus, but anyway. Substituted a male sheep, a ram, okay, to be sacrificed in Isaac's place, because as Abram is ready to plunge the knife in, and the angel of the Lord says, stop, Abram. Do no harm to the lad. And he looked up, and there's this male sheep there, so he sacrificed it instead. Isaac was very happy, I'm sure. But you know, this sacrifice was a foreshadowing of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to be sacrificed for us. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. He will provide all your needs. Notice I did not say greeds. Some people think, you know, if you need a bicycle to get to work, God will provide the bicycle, not a Mercedes Benz, you know, like some people are weird. Psalm 103, and we'll read the first five verses, and we'll deal with the fifth one in a minute. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. A psalm of David. He wrote so many good ones, didn't he? Wow. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, your iniquities. I better read what's here, right? Who heals all your diseases, not a few, but all. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He provides it all for us. He provides it all for us. Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Deuteronomy 28. Now this chapter is an extremely long chapter, I'll tell you that. It's on the blessings and curses of the Lord. It has 68 verses, and I think the first 14 or so have to do with the blessings. The other 53 have to do with the curses. If you cross God, you break your covenant. Okay? We'll just read verses 1 and 2. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You're not supposed to be running after those blessings. They're supposed to be running after you. Right? Read the scripture. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And Philippians 4:19 there, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yahweh Jireh desires to bless us in every area of our lives, okay, spiritually, soulically, physically. John 10:10. Now there it says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's the words of Christ, right, red letter. And Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The more abundant life, the more abundant life. Yahweh Rapha, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. And that word means to mend by stitching. You're falling apart. He's going to stitch you back together. Okay, physician, cure, heal, repair, make whole. I am the Lord who heals you. I will heal you. I know it looks impossible. I know you're ready to give up. But I will heal you. Exodus 15:26, the end of that verse says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Psalm 107:20. There it says, he, speaking of the Lord, right? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, all these Old Testament names of God, and they describe his character. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Well, that's, I used to think, say what? It's like a flag. You know, when the troops go out to do battle, they carry their flag ahead of them, right? They've got their emblem on their hats. They've got their flag. Yahweh Nissi goes before us. Yahweh goes before us. Now in Exodus 17, okay, Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. And here in this chapter, Israel, led by Joshua, okay, they defeat Amalek. Aaron and Hur, and they're supporting Moses, and it's one arm at a time they're holding up. They aren't holding both. He's not sitting like that forever. But they're taking turns supporting his arm because you can't keep it up with the staff in it, you know, forever. And as long as Moses, with the rod of God in his hand, held up his hand, Israel would be winning. But if he lowered his hand, then they'd start losing. So that's why the other guys helped out. Aaron and Hur took turns holding it up. But the banner, Yahweh, okay, the self-existent, the eternal, almighty God, Yahweh, Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He went before them. And, you know, we need to remember that when we're doing battle, when we're our back's against a wall. You aren't standing there alone. He's standing there in front of you. You know, really, he's standing there in front of you, and he will protect you. He will protect you. Okay, and as long as Moses was obedient to do as directed by Yahweh, Israel prevailed. And as long as we obey, we will also prevail, empowered by Yahweh Nissi, the one who goes before us. He is the God who, Yahweh, goes before us. Yahweh Makadesh. Okay, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I got that spelled wrong at the end in my notes. I don't know about yours. Exodus 31. Okay, and it's the first time it appears. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And that word sanctify means set apart, make holy. He makes you holy. Sanctify, set apart, holy. The word saint is translated from the root word for sanctify. Okay? Sanctify, set apart, holy, saint. Hebrews 10:10 says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been sanctified. We are already holy. We are already in right standing. Okay, 1 Thessalonians, well, John 17, we'll do that first. And there it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's the word of God. You know, we're to strive to become more like Christ, to become more holy as well, right? And that's how you do it. It's through the word. Through the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. There it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Leviticus 20 there says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says that Jesus became for us sanctification from God. He made us holy. We can't earn it, but he has freely given it to us because we're part of the body of Christ. But as I said, we also have to play our own part in this, you know. I mean, if you're outright sinning, well, then stop it, you know. Like, God won't be mocked, you know. And do our best to become more Christ-like before the Lord. Leviticus 11:44, there it says, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy as I am holy. Okay, so we know we shouldn't be outright sinning, right? Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. And you know, I noticed that when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I received the peace of God within, and it never left. Even when things were a disaster all around me in my life, I had peace inside. Peace inside, you know. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Judges 6:24. The name of the altar of Gideon built for Yahweh. Okay, the Lord is peace. Yahweh Shalom defeated the Midianite and Amalekite armies for Gideon. It comes out in Judges chapters 6 and 7. Who were as numerous as locusts, with a force of 300 men. They were carrying clay pots and trumpets. Yeah, trumpets and clay lamps, I guess. Isaiah 9:6, there it says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. John 14:27, and it's red letter, words of Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His peace, the peace of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, and there it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. One of my favorites, Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. Well, a host would be like a mass of person, of people, you know, an army of angels, right? And most familiar, I guess, is Zechariah 4:6, and there it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And actually, it comes out also in 1 Samuel 1. And Hannah is praying for a baby boy. And she's praying. She made a vow to the Lord of hosts if he would give her a son. And she received that son. And when he was weaned, so he'd be 3 or 4, I don't know. And then she had to give that son over to the priest at the temple because she had dedicated him to the Lord. But she had, I think it was 6 more children after that, right? So Isaiah 6:1-3, and there it speaks of a vision of the Lord of hosts, okay? It's one of the few visions of God in Scripture. Isaiah 47, and it says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah 31, verse 35 there, it says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the ordinance of the moon and stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name, you know. 1 Samuel 17:45. And here, this is David. He wasn't king yet. He was just a shepherd boy. And he comes up to Goliath. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he killed the giant with a slingshot and a stone. You know, like, no wonder God loved him so much, you know. And he would have just been like a young teenager. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is on your side. And, you know, it's kind of nice that the battle is the Lord's, because he's a lot better at fighting than I am. Yahweh Roh, the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, at some of the toughest times in your life, or when you're depressed, this is where we go, isn't it? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's always with you. He's always with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I mean, you're surrounded by enemies and God is giving you a feast. Here, sit down, son. You know, like, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. And, you know, you think about it, what's a shepherd do? He protects his sheep. He guides and cares for them. He heals them. He feeds them. He provides water and a safe grazing area, all their needs. And the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 says, in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And here in Jeremiah 23, it's actually speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in this context. Isaiah 54:17. I guess I was around 30 when I adopted this scripture as my life scripture, because it seemed like I was under continual battering, you know, younger even. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. And you know, Jesus has cleansed us from our sins. He's justified us. He's put us in right standing before Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. He's made us worthy. And it's not what we've done, it's what he has done. It's what he has done. Although we are to put away any sin in our life, okay, let's, you know, be realistic. But what's truly important is who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Who we are, because we're part of his family, part of his body. Jesus is our master, our savior, our righteousness. He is Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And the last name of God I want to look at, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. He's there. And actually, I like to say the Lord is here. He's here with me. He's there with you. He's omnipresent with us. Ezekiel 48:35. Now this is what the New Jerusalem will be called. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. God is always our Yahweh Shammah. He's always here with us. He's always, always here with us. Psalm 46:1, there it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Hebrews 13, God promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us. Never forsake us. You know, mankind, yeah, they will. But the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Yahweh Shammah will never, ever let you down. Yahweh is always there for you. And I typed out Isaiah 49. I don't know if it's in your notes. Verses 15 and 16 doesn't have anything to do with the name of God, but has to do with God. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her youth, her womb? Surely they may forget, but the Lord says, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. His people, it's speaking of Israel here, but it's his people, his children, you and I. He's inscribed us on the palms of his hands. And it comes out in number 6. Numbers 6. I'll be finished here in a moment, Pastor Bill, for you. Okay. This is how the Lord directed the priests to bless the congregation of the Lord. And I'm sure you've heard it before. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Pastor Bill.
I am. You know, the Hindus say God just appeared out of nothing. The Bible says God is always there. God is I am. Fantastic. And even Jesus says, he was teaching, and the Pharisees asked him, you're only about 30 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham came into being, I am. That's the holy, most beautiful, perfect name of God. And Jesus said, it says that Jesus says, the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I am. Jesus is the I am, and the Holy Spirit is the I am, the Father God. Thank you, Pastor Kathy. That's and your favorite Bible verse, one of them, Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in condemnation, you shall judge. This is the inheritance of the servants of Yahweh. Now, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I'm still a servant of Jesus. I'm a servant, but he calls me friend. Hallelujah. This is the inheritance of the servants of Yahweh and their vindication, their righteousness is from me personally, saith Yahweh. He's my righteousness and my vindication. He is. And I know why that's your favorite. It's one of my favorites too. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself by who you are. And Jesus and Father God, you're everything to me. Everything. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Ishama kod imaronaha sakair imatana sharama. Thank you, Father, that you are God with us. With us. And in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that we are close to you, close to your heart. Always close to your heart. And thank you that you have called us the sons. That means the sons of, and ladies too, the sons and daughters. You've called us your family. I'm just amazed. We thank you for all of these things, Father, for all of your blessings, for who you are. And we give you glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. What a Savior. What a God. Hallelujah. And just some instructions. Five rows facing that way. Three rows.